As I walked through the wilderness of this world, I lighted on a certain place where was a den, and I laid me down in that place to sleep, and, as I slept, I dreamed a dream. I dreamed, and behold, I saw a man clothed with rags, standing in a certain place, with his face from his own house, a book in his hand, and a great burden upon his back. I looked, and saw him open the book, and read therein. And, as he read, he wept, and trembled, and, not being able longer to contain, he brake out with a lamentable cry, saying, "What shall I do? In this plight." Therefore, he went home and refrained himself as long as he could, that his wife and children should not perceive his distress, but he could not be silent long, because that his trouble increased. Wherefore at length he brake his mind to his wife and children, and thus he began to talk to them, "O my dear wife," said he, "and you the children of my bowels, I, your dear friend, am in myself undone by reason of a burden that lieth hard upon me. Moreover, I am for certain informed that this our city will be burned with fire from heaven, in which fearful overthrow, both myself, with thee my wife, and you my sweet babes, shall miserably come to ruin, except, the which yet I see not, some way of escape can be found, whereby we may be delivered." At this his relations were sore amazed, not for that they believed that what he had said to them was true, but because they thought that some frenzy distemper had got into his head. Therefore, it drawing towards night, and they hoping that sleep might settle his brains, with all haste they got him to bed. But the night was as troublesome to him as the day, wherefore, instead of sleeping, he spent it in sighs and tears. So, when the morning was come, they would know how he did. He told them, worse and worse. He also set to talking to them again, but they began to be heartened. They also thought to drive away his distemper by harsh and surly carriages to him. Sometimes they would deride, sometimes they would chide, and sometimes they would quite neglect him. Wherefore he began to retire himself to his chamber, to pray for and pity them, and also to condole his own misery. He would also walk solitarily in the fields, sometimes reading, and sometimes praying, and thus for some days he spent his time. Now, I saw, upon a time, when he was walking in the fields, that he was, as he was wont, reading in his book, and greatly distressed in his mind, and, as he read, he burst out, as he had done before, crying, "What shall I do to be saved?" I saw also that he looked this way and that way, as if he would run, yet he stood still, because, as I perceived, he could not tell which way to go. I looked then, and saw a man named Evangelist coming to him and asked, "Wherefore dost thou cry?" He answered, "Sir, I perceive by the book in my hand, that I am condemned to die, and after that to come to judgment, and I find that I am not willing to do the first, nor able to do the second." Christian no sooner leaves the world but meets Evangelist, who lovingly him greets with tidings of another, and doth show him how to mount to that from this below. Then said Evangelist, "Why not willing to die, since this life is attended with so many evils?" The man answered, "Because I fear that this burden is upon my back will sink me lower than the grave, and I shall fall into torment. And, sir, if I be not fit to go to prison, I am not fit, I am sure, to go to judgment, and from thence to execution, and the thoughts of these things make me cry." Then said Evangelist, "If this be thy condition, why standest thou still?" He answered, "Because I know not whither to go." Then he gave him a parchment roll, and there was written within, "Flee from the wrath to come." The man therefore read it, and looking upon Evangelist very carefully, said, "Whither must I fly?" Then said Evangelist, pointing with his finger over a very wide field, "Do you see yonder wicket gate?" The man said, "No." Then said the other, "Do you see yonder shining light?" He said, "I think I do." Then said Evangelist, "Keep that light in your eye, and go up directly thereto, so shalt thou see the gate, at which, when thou knockest, it shall be told thee what thou shalt do." So I saw in my dream that the man began to run. Now, he had not run far from his own door, but his wife and children, perceiving it, began to cry after him to return, but the man put his fingers in his ears, and ran on, crying, "Life! Life! Eternal life!" So he looked not behind him, but fled towards the middle of the plain. The neighbors also came out to see him run, and, as he ran, some mocked, others threatened, and some cried after him to return, and, among those that did so, there were two that resolved to fetch him back by force. The name of the one was Obstinate and the name of the other Pliable. Now, by this time, the man was got a good distance from them, but, however, they were resolved to pursue him, which they did, and in a little time they overtook him. Then said the man, "Neighbors, wherefore are ye come?" They said, "To persuade you to go back with us." But he said, "That can by no means be, you dwell, said he, in the city of destruction, the place also where I was born, I see it to be so, and, dying there, sooner or later, you will sink lower than the grave, into a place that burns with fire and brimstone. Be content, good neighbors, and go along with me. OBST. What? Said Obstinate, and leave our friends and our comforts behind us? CHR. Yes, said Christian, for that was his name, because that all which you shall forsake is not worthy to be compared with a little of that which I am seeking to enjoy, and, if you will go along with me, and hold it, you shall fare as I myself, for there, where I go, is enough and to spare. Come away, and prove my words. OBST. What are the things you seek, since you leave all the world to find them? CHR. I seek an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, and it is laid up in heaven, and safe there to be bestowed, at the time appointed, on them that diligently seek it. Read it so, if you will, in my book. OBST. Dush. Said Obstinate, away with your book, will you go back with us or no? CHR. No, not I, said the other, because I have laid my hand to the plow. OBST. Come, then, neighbor Pliable, let us turn again, and go home without him. There is a company of these crazy-headed coxcombs, that, when they take a fancy by the end, are wiser in their own eyes than seven men that can render a reason. PLI. Then said Pliable, don't revile, if what the good Christian says is true, the things he looks after are better than ours, my heart inclines to go with my neighbor. OBST. What? More fools still. Be ruled by me, and go back, who knows whither such a brainsick fellow will lead you. Go back, and be wise. CHR. Nay, but do thou come with thy neighbor, Pliable, there are such things to be had which I spoke of, and many more glorious besides. If you believe not me, read here in this book, and for the truth of what is expressed therein. Behold, all is confirmed by the blood of him that made it. PLI. Well, neighbor Obstinate, said Pliable, I begin to come to a point, I intend to go along with this good man, and to cast in my lot with him, but, my good companion, do you know the way to this desired place? CHR. I am directed by a man, whose name is Evangelist, to speed me to a little gate that is before us, where we shall receive instructions about the way. PLI. Come, then, good neighbor, let us be going. Then they went both together. OBST. And I will go back to my place, said Obstinate, I will be no companion of such misled, fantastical fellows. Now, I saw in my dream, that when Obstinate was gone back, Christian and Pliable went talking over the plain, and thus they began their discourse. CHR. Come, neighbor Pliable, how do you do? I am glad you are persuaded to go along with me. Had even Obstinate himself but felt what I have felt of the powers and terrors of what is yet unseen, he would not thus lightly have given us the back. PLI. Come, neighbor Christian, since there are none but us two here, tell me now further what the things are, and how to be enjoyed, whither we are going. CHR. I can better conceive of them with my mind, than speak of them with my tongue. God's things unspeakable, but yet, since you are desirous to know, I will read of them in my book. PLI. And do you think that the words of your book are certainly true? CHR. Yes, verily, for it was made by him that cannot lie. PLI. Well said, what things are they? CHR. There is an endless kingdom to be inhabited, and everlasting life to be given us, that we may inhabit that kingdom forever. PLI. Well said, and what else? CHR. There are crowns and glory to be given us, and garments that will make us shine like the sun in the firmament of heaven. PLI. This is very pleasant, and what else? CHR. There shall be no more crying, nor sorrow, for he that is owner of the place will wipe all tears from our eyes. PLI. And what company shall we have there? CHR. There we shall be with seraphims and cherubims, creatures that will dazzle your eyes to look on them. There also you shall meet with thousands and ten thousands that have gone before us to that place, none of them are hurtful, but loving and holy, every one walking in the sight of God, and standing in his presence with acceptance forever. In a word, there we shall see the elders with their golden crowns, there we shall see the holy virgins with their golden harps, there we shall see men that by the world were cut in pieces, burnt in flames, eaten of beasts, drowned in the seas, for the love that they bear to the Lord of the place, all well, and clothed with immortality as with a garment. PLI. The hearing of this is enough to ravish one's heart. But are these things to be enjoyed? How shall we get to be sharers thereof? Chr. The Lord, the governor of the country, hath recorded that in this book, the substance of which is, if we be truly willing to have it, he will bestow it upon us freely. PLI. Well, my good companion, glad am I to hear of these things, come on, let us mend our pace. Chr. I cannot go so fast as I would, by reason of this burden that is on my back. Now I saw in my dream, that just as they had ended this talk they drew near to a very miry slough, that was in the midst of the plain, and they, being heedless, did both fall suddenly into the bog. The name of the slough was Despond. Here, therefore, they wallowed for a time, being grievously bedaubed with the dirt, and Christian, because of the burden that was on his back, began to sink in the mire. PLI. Then said Pliable, Ah! Neighbor Christian, where are you now? CHR. Truly, said Christian, I do not know. PLI. At this Pliable began to be offended, and angrily said to his fellow, Is this the happiness you have told me all this while of? If we have such ill speed at our first setting out, what may we expect betwixt this and our journey's end? May I get out again with my life, you shall possess the brave country alone for me. And, with that, he gave a desperate struggle or two, and got out of the mire on that side of the slough which was next to his own house, so away he went, and Christian saw him no more. Wherefore Christian was left to tumble in the slough of Despond alone, but still he endeavored to struggle to that side of the slough that was still further from his own house, and next to the wicket gate, the which he did, but could not get out, because of the burden that was upon his back. But I beheld in my dream, that a man came to him, whose name was Help, and asked him, what he did there. Chr. Sir, said Christian, I was bid go this way by a man called Evangelist, who directed me also to yonder gate, that I might escape the wrath to come, and as I was going thither I fell in here. Help. But why did not you look for the steps? Chr. Fear followed me so hard, that I fled the next way, and fell in. Help. Then said he, Give me thy hand. So he gave him his hand, and he drew him out, and set him upon sound ground, and bid him go on his way. Then I stepped to him that plucked him out, and said, Sir, wherefore, since over this place is the way from the city of destruction to yonder gate, is it that this plat is not mended, that poor travellers might go thither with more security? And he said unto me, This miry slough is such a place as cannot be mended, it is the descent whither the scum and filth that attends conviction for sin doth continually run, and therefore it is called the Slough of Despond, for still, as the sinner is awakened about his lost condition, there ariseth in his soul many fears, and doubts, and discouraging apprehensions, which all of them get together, and settle in this place. And this is the reason of the badness of this ground. It is not the pleasure of the king that this place should remain so bad. His laborers also have, by the direction of his majesty's surveyors, been for above these 1600 years employed about this patch of ground, if perhaps it might have been mended. Yea, and to my knowledge, said he, here have been swallowed up at least 20,000 cartloads, yea, millions of wholesome instructions, that have at all seasons been brought from all places of the king's dominions, and they that can tell, say they are the best materials to make good ground of the place, if so be, it might have been mended, but it is the slough of Despond still, and so will be when they have done what they can. True, there are, by the direction of the lawgiver, certain good and substantial steps, placed even through the very midst of the slough, but at such time as this place doth much spew out its filth, as it doth against change of weather, these steps are hardly seen, or, if they be, men, through the dizziness of their heads, step beside, and then they are bemired to purpose, notwithstanding the steps be there, but the ground is good when they are once got in at the gate. Now, I saw in my dream,